Thanks for taking the time to listen to this weekly sermon from Southside Baptist Church in Florence, South Carolina. Our vision is to know God and to make Him known, and we now offer two services on Sundays. Our classic service begins at 9 a.m., and our modern service begins at 11:15 a.m., and it's also streamed on Facebook Live. Please visit our website at southsidenow.church so you can find out more about how we are helping make and grow disciples in the Florence area. For now, sit back and take in today's message from God's Word.
In the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, and I tell you, y'all doing well this morning? Yeah, glad to be in church. It's better than any funeral home or hospital I've been at, so we're glad that you're here. Whether it's your first time, or your first time in a long time, or you're here every week, we're glad that you were here. There was a card on a banker's desk that was neatly framed, one of those inspirational type messages, and it said, "Every morning in Africa, a gazelle wakes up, and it knows it must run faster than the fastest lion or be killed. And every morning, a lion wakes up, and it knows it must be faster than the slowest gazelle or starve. It doesn't matter whether you're a lion or a gazelle, when the sun comes up, you better be running." And though that's kind of inspirational, I guess, to a point, unless you're the one being killed or starving in that situation. But it's not really a great philosophy for life. And the Apostle Paul, he noted that there's a distinct difference between running for survival and running with purpose. And in fact, in another letter he wrote was in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. This is what he wrote. He told them, "Don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. Run to win. Just don't play the game. All right? It's just not about having fun." Now, I realize we tell our kids that. But you know, like at some of those kid games where they don't keep score, what do most children ask after the game? Who won? My son Grant, he's very competitive, and he will always ask after the soccer game, "Dad, who won?" I'm like, "You, buddy, you guys won every time. And they got blown out and lost. He didn't care. He's supposed to hear that they won." They don't keep score for those games, and we know why in general. We know there's a point they start keeping score, but all the parents keep score. You can hear them, right? "We won 6-1, you know, like, yeah. So run to win. And all athletes are disciplined in their training, so they do it to win a prize that will fade away. But we do it, talking about believers, we do it for an eternal prize. So this is what Paul says. "So I run with purpose in every step. I'm not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training to do what I should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified." And Paul, he's telling us, listen, as Christians, we weren't made and designed just to run and get through this life and just be in survival mode. No. You were saved for a purpose. And God wants to use you for His purpose, not just to run, not just to go through this life. And so how are you running? Are you running with a purpose and knowing what God's purpose is for you? Or are you just running and going through this life and every day is just another day of chaos and you're just like, "Man, I'm just trying my best to put it all together." And maybe you need to stop and think, why am I running? And more, even more important, which direction am I running? It's said that 20% of what you consciously decide to do will determine what the rest of the 80% of the things that you do subconsciously. So if that's the case, and if God made us that way, what are you focused in on? It's interesting that, I can't remember where I saw it, maybe it was a documentary, I can't remember exactly, but you probably know this, but Warren Buffett and Bill Gates are buddies. You know, billionaires, I guess, hang out with billionaires. I guess that's how it works. And they were asked together, they were in this interview, to write down one word, just one word, that would describe themselves, describe what they've done and how they've been successful. Just one word to describe how they've been successful. You know what that word was? It wasn't money. It wasn't relationships, so those things are important. It was one word. It was focus. That was the word. Here's the interesting thing. They both wrote it down, not knowing what the other one was going to write. Interesting. It's been said about other inventors that they were so focused. They were so focused at times that they forgot about simple things. We all maybe forgotten about something, but it was something that was just common because they were so focused on what they were doing. And so in what God has called us to, concerning our purpose, we need to be focused. We need to be like a horse with blinders on. We need to be focused on what he's called us to do. So the question is, how are you running? Are you running with purpose? And Paul, as he's talking to the church at Ephesus, he starts off in verse 8 in chapter 5. And this is what he says to them. For once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So when we come to know Christ, we repent of our sins, we ask Christ to be our Lord and our Savior, there's a change that happens. Our want to changes. I'm not saying we don't have struggles, right? But our want to changes. We get back up again when we fall. And so it says, so live as people of the light. For this light within you produces only what is good and true, right and true. Notice this, carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them. It is shameful even to talk about the things that ungodly people do in secret. But their evil intentions will be exposed when the light shines on them. For the light makes everything visible. And that is why it is said, awake, O sleeper, rise up from the dead, and Christ will give you light. So we are called. We once were in darkness without Christ. Then we are called to be in the light, and the light is within us. It's not that there's anything necessarily good that comes from us. It's that Jesus, the Holy Spirit, who is God, lives inside of us. It helps us to do right, to live right, to do right. See, darkness is ignorance of God and his ways and being dominated by sin. We're called out of darkness. When we got saved, when we accepted Christ, we were freed. We were freed. We once had the chains that enslaved us to sin. But when we came to know Christ, those chains were broken. Those chains were lifted up. Our chains are gone like we were singing Amazing Grace. That's why there's no other word for grace than amazing. Because it's amazing that God would save a wretch like you and me. Because we deserve death. We deserve hell. We were once in darkness, but God has saved us. And so we are now in Christ. And now as people of the light, we can live in fellowship with God. Think about that. We toss around that word fellowship. What does that really mean? It means to walk side by side. It means to be with, to have communion with. And so, you know, when you have fellowship with someone here, that's a buddy or a friend, it's someone that you talk with, maybe every day, maybe once a week, maybe it's a couple times, but you have a relationship with them. What is fellowship? Fellowship's like being on a ship, if you were headed to Europe. And if you're on a ship and you're headed somewhere, you're on a cruise, you're heading the same direction, you're all in the same boat, you're going to have conversations with people, you're going to have fellowship with people, but you're having fellowship. You're headed in the same direction, the same destination. And so we have fellowship with the Lord. As a Christian, you no longer live and do the same things you did when you were in the dark. You see, in the dark, you don't feel bad about sinning. Maybe there were things, and maybe you're recently had just gotten saved. You're like, man, there's things like that used not to bother me at all when I was younger, and I really didn't go to church, or I didn't know Christ. But man, there's things that convict me, like they bother me. Why is that? Because you're not in the dark any longer. You're in the light, and the Holy Spirit shines his light within our hearts, and he wants to get rid of any darkness, any place, any closets that are in our heart, that there's things that we're hiding. The Holy God knows. We can't fool him. We're not gonna confuse the Lord. He knows. There's nothing that we can hide. In the dark, you only cared about your priorities. In the light, you realize it's about God and his priorities. Usually around January, December, folks, and you start making a list. Maybe you do this yourself. You'll make a list of priorities. You'll make some New Year's resolutions, and you want to change things up. And for those who want to live for God, maybe your list kind of looks like this. It looks like number one, you know, love Jesus more, or get more involved in church, or, you know, Jesus, it'd be God related, right? And so number two, maybe it's your health, or it's your family, or it could be job related. And you'll make your list of one, two, three, four, and five, and you'll get all those set up. But listen, Jesus wants preeminence in all things. Jesus isn't interested in being number one on your list. Now, hear me out. He's not interested in being number one. Because what happens when we make Jesus number one, we kind of box Jesus in. Jesus, he wants to be first in your workplace. He wants to be first in your health. He wants to be first and in the middle of your finances. He wants to be in the middle of your family. He wants to be in the middle of all things. Don't put Jesus first. Put him in all things, because that's what he wants. He wants to be in every part of you. You see, church is not an event. It's a family that you're a part of, that you get to be a part of. You get to be a part of the body of Christ, a place that you can love and be loved, that you can serve and be served. That's what it is. So let me ask you, how are your priorities? Are they in the right order? Because what happens is, when we don't put them in the right order, what happens is you end up being a fine Christian on Sunday, but at the workplace, no one knows there's anything Christian about you. Or in the home, you're completely different at home. You're ungodly at home, but you're godly in front of people. You see, we should be the same whether we're at church or during the week or wherever we're at, because Jesus is in all things. Whether you're in school, whatever you're doing, he wants to be preeminent in all things. That's what he wants. So let me ask, as people who live in the light, what does that mean? It means we are intentional with our priorities. So are you intentional with your priorities? What does that look like? What does that look like? Is Jesus really first in all things in your life? If not, you need to put him there. You need to put him there. You see, notice what it says. It says this twice. It says this in verse 10, and we'll see it again in 15. Paul says, carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Don't assume. Don't assume. Carefully determine what God's will is. Think about that. Now, there's things in his word, and his word of God shares with us and shows us clearly certain things that are his will, but there's other things that may not be in there that we're praying about, we're wondering about, and we want to know. The point is this: obey God's will, not simply just understand it, not just know about it, but carefully determine. We've heard it before. Haste makes waste, or haste makes mistakes. We can be very haste in our decisions. There are some things that we need to be careful about, that we are too flippant about. Your life is one of them. One thing the enemy loves to tell you and I is that your life is, and the decisions that you make will only affect you. That's not the truth, especially if you're a husband here. The decisions you make, moms and dads, are going to affect, it's going to affect your spouse. It's going to affect your children. In fact, it'll affect your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. It's actually a principle in Scripture. It's in Numbers 18. My dad, growing up, would quote this Bible verse to us like a million times. I told my dad, like, one day, Dad, we're going to put that on your gravestone. You said it so many times. What was my father trying to share with us? He said, what you do matters. The way you live matters. What you do, if you don't have your priorities in the right set up correctly, the biblical way, and you haven't been careful about it, listen, you're going to affect other people around you. It's going to affect that. It says that God will visit the iniquities, in other words, our sin, unto the third and fourth generations. It matters. Get your priorities correct. Get them in the right place. Don't assume. Notice what it says here. It says that expose worthless and dark deeds. There is a fight for what is right and holy. Scripture says expose them. And listen, when you see someone who is not living right, who's not doing right, don't whisper behind their back. And there's things that we can see that maybe we disagree with. We need to expose. How do we expose them? It's that Scripture says, don't even talk about it. We don't whisper behind, well, hey, do you hear about so-and-so at the workplace? About the affair they're having? Or about so-and-so's came out as gay and this, that, and the other? Or someone got, you know, you could go on and on. Or so-and-so got an abortion. And it's like you're whispering behind their back. What does that mean to expose the things of the dark? I want to read a little bit more here. And I'm going to answer this question. It's in Romans 13. It says, the night is almost gone. The day of salvation will soon be here. And what does that mean exactly? It means, hey, we are living in the last days. What does that mean? When you read the Bible, it says we're living in the last days. We've been living in the last days for 1,000+ years, right? Since Christ resurrected those, from that point until Christ comes again are biblically the last days. And I don't know when that day will be, but one day the Lord will come again. And it says, soon remove your dark deeds like dirty clothes. Man, when Christ saved you, he brought you out of the dark. Get rid of those clothes. In other words, get rid of some of those old ways of thinking. Some of the ways that maybe you were raised by good parents, and there's some wonderful things you learn from them, but maybe there's no parent's perfect. There's things that we can catch and pick up along the way that we need to get rid of, even out of good homes. We need to get rid of them. Throw them away like dirty clothes. Notice what it says. Put on the shining armor of right living, because we belong to the day. We must live decent lives for all to see. Don't participate in the darkness of wild parties and drunkenness or sexual promiscuity, immoral living, or in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, clothe yourself with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And don't let yourself think about ways to indulge your evil desires. There's a continual battle when you get saved, when you come to know Christ, between the Spirit of God, the things of God, and the things of the flesh. It says, hey, what are you going to think on? Think on what is true. Think on what is noble. Think on what is right instead of those things. Because listen, clothe yourself. That means you have a decision to make every single day. What are you going to put into your life? What are you going to put on? Not physically. What kind of attitude are you going to put on in the morning, Christian? What kind of language are you going to say? What's going to come out of your mouth? Are there going to be words that are encouraging, that lift people up and build them up, that help? Or will you put on words that bring other people down? Will it be words of gossip and slander? What will you put on? Every day we have a choice, and there's a difference. Those who live in the dark, those who live in the light. And we've called to live in the light. The way we live matters. The gospel matters. Your life shines. It shines. And that's what it says. It says that now, the armor of light. Think about that. Listen, you may not think you're in spiritual warfare, but every single day, you have an enemy who wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy your family. He hates anything that is of God and of anything that is good. And as a Christian, you have a target on your back. You're in spiritual warfare. You must be prepared. You must put on the armor of light. You must be ready. We're called to shine. How do we expose the darkness? The way we expose the darkness, it's by what we put on. So let me ask, your life, it shines through love. It shines through showing kindness and joy. Those are some of the fruits of the Holy Spirit that he's called us to put on. And we trust and we obey the Lord and we let the Lord work in our lives. And so how do we get rid of the darkness that is around us? We love. We show kindness. We let the Holy Spirit work in our lives. There's times of long suffering. There's times of patience. It's peace. It's love. It's understanding. And it's something that God does through us. But ultimately, he's given us something. He's given us his word, which is our sword. But he also has given us something wonderful. It is the gospel. To the lost and unbelieving world, God will judge them. It's not for us to judge. Amen? It's not for us to judge a lost and dying world. God will do that. What are we called to do? Expose what is in the dark through the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the good news. That's what people need to know. That's what they need to hear. And you would think in this information age that so many people would know the gospel, but they don't. They don't know the basics of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the basics are simple this. You can never be good enough. You can never be religious enough. You can never do enough good works to earn your salvation. You only get to heaven by the grace of God. That's why it's called amazing. And so you must realize that you have sinned against a holy God, that you deserve death, you deserve hell, you don't deserve heaven. I don't, you don't, not a one of us. It's by the grace of God, and Jesus came, who was God, and lived among us, lived a perfect, sinless life, only one ever to do it, because he was God. He died on the cross for your sins, and he offers grace and mercy through the cross. And he showed to prove on the resurrection who he was. He is God. And one day he's coming again. You can have many questions, and that's fine. Always welcome questions. But the fact is, Jesus loves you. And as the old children's song says, Jesus loves you, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. He loves you. Have you accepted Christ as your Savior? Get your priorities in order. Listen, Christian, the gospel should be a priority for you. It's not about getting saved. God saved you for something, not just from something. He's given us the gospel. He's called us to go. So let me ask you this. This is a convicting question. When's the last time you shined the light of the gospel by telling somebody about Jesus or inviting someone to church? All around here in the foyer, you can see, like, by the door right here, there's gospel tracks. They're wonderful. They're cartoon tracks, you know, of sharing that with somebody or letting them read that or inviting them to church. You know, what's that one person that you need to pray about? When's the last time you prayed for that one person to come to church or that one person to come and know Jesus Christ as their Savior? Christian, that's your job. That's your job. He's called you to do that. He's called you to be the light, to shine. And if not you, then who? And if not now, then when? He's called you to share. Living in the light also means this. It means that we are intentional, not just with our purpose, with our priorities, but that we are intentional with our life and our time. Notice verse 15. We see this word careful again. So be careful how you live. The way we live matters. Don't live like fools, but be like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in the evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. The word fool simply means a senseless person. Someone who just ignores the truth, ignores the facts, and they're just going to live for themselves how they want to. You can't tell them anything. In fact, Proverbs is known as the book of wisdom in the Bible. It has 31 chapters. I always recommend to people, read at least one chapter just from Proverbs a day. There's 31. You can kind of, in general, you know, about half our months have 31 days. So if you know, hey, today's whatever today is, I can't remember the day, 25th, I think. You can go on there and say, okay, chapter 25, today's the 25th. Or today's the 1st, so I'm going to go to the 1st. And it just imparts wisdom in you. It's so rich in wisdom. But here's some list of characteristics of a fool just from the book of Proverbs. A fool hates knowledge. They have no interest in it. They don't have any interest in it. They take no pleasure in understanding. They enjoy wicked schemes. They're quick-tempered. They don't have any. They spurn their parents' discipline. They curse all the time. They're quick-tempered. They get themselves in trouble with proud speech. They mock sin. They're deceitful. They despise their mother and their father. A foolish child brings grief to their parents. A foolish man commits sexual immorality, commits adultery. A foolish woman tears down her own house. And the ultimate description of a fool is one who says in their heart, there is no God. There is no God. It says they are corrupt and their ways are vile. There's no one who does good. Although fools can choose to become wise by heeding wise counsel and applying it, the Bible warns against associating with fools. Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. So are you careful how you live? Who are you associating with? It said, and we've heard it before, birds of a feather, same feather, flock together. If you look around and you're surrounded by nothing but fools, my friend, it may be that you're one as well. Maybe time to wise up and find some new friends. You see, Christian, there's two types of sins. Two. Theologically, they call them sins of omission and commission. Basically, there's two sins. There's sins that you do, that you decided to do, and there's sins that you decided not to do. The what? There's sayings clearly in God's word that He's called you and I to do. And if we know that we should be doing those and we refuse to obey the Lord, we refuse to use our gifts, we refuse to be involved, then we are missing out. We are missing out on all that God has for us. I've said this before. I think I even said this last week. I was at lunch with a pastor friend, and he says, how do I get more volunteers? And we're always looking for more people to help here at Southside, but we have a lot of great workers, really do. And I said, well, first off, I would get rid of all your volunteers. He said, what? What do you mean? You see, Jesus never asked for volunteers for His field. He asked for workers. And workers one day will stand before God at the Bema seat and will be rewarded for what they've done and what they've worked for Jesus Christ. So get rid of the volunteer mentality. We don't need volunteers here. We need workers, people who, I want to work for God. I want to do His will. I know what He has gifted me and what He wants me to do, and I'm going to do it. Not to do it, my friend, is sin. Now, maybe you're here and you're looking for a church, and if this is a church for you, wonderful, wonderful. If it's another place, I pray you find the place that you can fit and call home, by all means. But wherever you end up landing, get involved there. You be all in. You serve, and yes, you need to be served. You need to love and be loved, by all means. You need to find your niche. You need to find your place, because listen, one day in heaven, I believe our largest regrets won't be necessarily the things that we've done. I believe that our biggest regrets will be the thing, the biggest thing that we will regret in our life are the things that we did not do that we felt God was calling us to do. It'll be regret. You talk to some folks towards the end of their life, and they're like, man, I just have some regrets. And you know what they usually are? Usually not the things they tried. It usually wasn't their failure. Failures teach you so much. It's the things they decided not to do because they were fearful or they were scared. So what's God calling you to do? Do it. Do it. He's calling you to step out. The way you live matters. You get one life. Also want to say this. Maybe you're young and you got many more years. You don't know that. Maybe you're 70 here right now. And you're like, oh, I'm just kind of taking a step back, I'm 70 now, or maybe you're 80, I don't know how old you are, but maybe you're in the retirement years, like, I'm just taking a step back. My friend, what if you have another 20, 30 years? And you're going to stand before God, and God's like, man, I had so much more for you. I had so much more for you, but you wasted it. You were 70, and you're ready to pack it in, but I had 30 more years for you, for things for you to do, and you packed it in. You have to answer for that. And there will be regret. Don't miss out on all that God has for you. So are you careful about how you live? Are you living the life of a fool or one who is wise? Someone who's wise is going to seek carefully what God wants them to do. And will seek that out and will move forward. So what does God want you to do? Paul says that the Lord wants us to understand what He wants us to do. So don't understand because many do not understand because they are so invested in the world. They're so invested in so many other things that they don't get into the Word. They don't understand basic things because they're not in the Word. You haven't heard from God because you haven't been in the Word. And Hebrews, whoever the author was writing to the Hebrews and said, listen, some of y'all should be teachers already. Some of you already should be leaders already in the church. But you need to go back and learn you need to go back to elementary school spiritually because you don't know the basics and your spiritual senses are dull. See, we lack understanding, not for a lack of knowledge. We lack understanding because we lack getting into the Word and applying it. And we live just for today. But God saved you for a purpose. We all probably in here have computers. If you don't have a computer, then you probably have a smartphone, right? And we all have heard basically the basic story of Apple and Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak. And during that time of when they were, the idea of building a computer that could sit on your sit on your there in your office was just revolutionary. And in fact, it was so revolutionary and forward thinking that no one wanted to help Steve Jobs and Wozniak. They weren't interested. In fact, they ended up taking their idea to Atari. And Atari's like, nah, that's not going to work. No one's going to use computers. They took it to IBM. Nah, they took the Hewlett Packard. No, we're not interested. All they wanted to do was get a salary, and because they didn't have any money. They're young, and they couldn't get anyone to help them. So they ended up selling off like their car and selling off some other things and raising the money. And, of course, you know the story. They grew and grew and grew. And, you know, that, you know, if you don't know the story, go watch, you know, one of those documentaries. And it grew. But it got to a point where Steve Jobs discovered that his vision had reached fruition and they needed greater management expertise. And so Jobs, being Steve Jobs, sought out someone who could help him. And it was the president of, at that time, of Pepsi. And so he talks to this man, John Skull, who's a president of Pepsi. And John Skull's like, why would I go to work with you nerds, basically, of this computer company? And when I have a great job, I'm the president of Pepsi. I mean, that soda has nothing but it continued to explode, right? And so he's told Steve Jobs no multiple different times. But Steve Jobs said, I'm going to try one more time. And he talked. He talked to John Sculley. This is what he said to him. He asked him one question. He said, John, do you want to spend the rest of your life selling sugared water, or do you want a chance to change the world? Ooh. And Jesus comes to you and to me right now. He's saying, do you want a chance to change the world, or do you just want to sell sugared water or whatever you're selling? And live for yourself. You see, Jesus has called and set his church aside for a special purpose. To change the world through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said this in Matthew 6. He said, seek the kingdom of God in your spare time. No, I didn't say that, did it? Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. You want everything you need? Put your life aside and let God take control and live in the power of the Spirit and seek the kingdom of God. What are you seeking? There's many things in life to seek. Maybe you're seeking power. Maybe you're seeking fame. Maybe you're seeking, you know, something to fill that void in your heart. Listen, seek the kingdom of God. He can do so much more with you. Get your priorities in the set up at the way they should be biblically. Get up, get into the light, and prioritize and be intentional with your life and your time. We all get 24 hours. Whether you're rich or you're poor, you're young, you're old. Every day is a gift. You get 24 hours. How will you use it? Living the light means this. It means that we know how to deal with life's pressures. Notice verse 18. Don't be drunk with wine because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourself and making music to the Lord in your hearts, and give thanks for everything to God, the Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, in the pressure of life, you're going to run to something. Life is hard. Amen? It is hard. There's some days you wake up and you don't want to wake up. There's some days you get up and you're ready to take on the day. There's some days you put your head on your pillow and you're like, oh, I'm so glad to finally be home. Life is hard. It is tough. It is. We all have those days. And so when life's pressure comes our way, what do we do? What do we run to? What are we running to? In the pressure of life, you can run to alcohol or you can run to the Spirit. You see, alcohol and the Spirit, they produce the same things in you, but entirely different ways. Alcohol is a depressant. It dulls the senses to reality. You're less aware of your surroundings, but guess what? Your problems are still there. The Holy Spirit will help you cope with difficulty by opening your eyes to the reality of God. The Holy Spirit, alcohol gets rid of your worry by helping you forget momentarily. The Holy Spirit gets rid of worry by helping you remember who God is. Alcohol gives you courage by helping you not be aware of the danger that is around you. The Spirit gives you courage by reminding how much larger God is than your fears. Alcohol adds excitement to your life through a cheap thrill. The Spirit adds excitement by taking you into the presence of God where the fullness of joy and peace. So Paul says, turn to the Spirit instead of something else that will dull your senses and surroundings to the battle that is at hand. What are you going to run to? Notice what it says. I always thought it was odd, this verse. Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Why are those the same? Because just as someone who is drunk is controlled by alcohol, listen, Christian, God wants you to be controlled by His Holy Spirit. That's what it means to be filled. You need to pray for the filling of the Spirit. Now some, their mind, their view is that to be filled with the Spirit means that you're running around the room and maybe that could be for you, I don't know. Here we might trip you. But no, I'm just kidding. We won't trip you. But to be filled with the Spirit means that God is in control of you. The way you handle things. And just as your vehicle, you got in your car and you filled it up with fuel. And as you came and you traveled different places, you eventually need to fill up that fuel tank again. Kind of the same way with that of the filling of the Spirit. Man, you go through life. Life is hard. Things suck you dry. You need to refill. You need to re-nourish in the Spirit of God so He can build you back up. Notice what happens, though. It happens in verse 90, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. What happens to those who are drunk? They love to sing their certain songs. They love to shout. He's saying, as in the Spirit, you're going to sing as well. Man, I love to sing. I don't sing in front of you, though, because I'm not a very good singer, but I love to sing. And that's what it says in some of the versions. It says, sing, basically, to your brothers and sisters in Christ. Sing to them. And I love you all, but some of you, I don't want you singing to me. You don't want me singing to you. What does that mean exactly? It doesn't mean exactly sing to them, but it means this. It means to encourage them, to build up those other people who are around you, to encourage them, to help them, to have fellowship with them, to build them up. That's what it means. That's what it means to sing to them. And then it goes, give thanks. You know what? Maybe you're here this morning and you're down. And life's tough and you got some difficult things you're dealing with. What should you do? Try this. Give thanks. Let me tell you what. When times are hard in my life, God says, give thanks. That's what He says in 20. And give thanks for everything to God, the Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus. When you start counting your blessings, when you start seeing other people who have it worse than what you have it, and you realize how blessed you are, you go, thank you, God. Yeah, I got some problems. I got some things I'm having to deal with. But you know what? Man, I'm so thankful. God, you've been so good to me. We have a spirit of thankfulness. Because when we forget how thankful we should be and how good He's been to us, what do? We complain, and we complain, and we complain. And it just sucks the life out of the room, doesn't it? When we complain and complain, instead sing. Instead give thanks. You know what music is when we sing up here? You know what we're singing? These are really just sermons that have been put to song. Man, we need good music in our life. Listen, I'm not one to go, hey, don't listen to no secular music. I don't say that, but listen, it could be that in your life, it could be that you're allowing certain music into your life that's bringing and dragging you down instead of building you up. Maybe you need to change the channel and change the channel and put some good music into your life that will encourage you, that will build you up. Maybe you need to change the station of friends. Instead of having certain friends in your life that are dragging you down, that are not building you up, maybe you need to change that channel as well. Maybe you need to change the channel from the complaining channel to the thankful channel. Change the channel. So let me ask, and I'll end. Man, are you living in the light or are you in the darkness? Are you running with a purpose? The purpose that God's given us, or are you just running aimlessly and every day is just chaos? How are you running? How are you living? And maybe right now you're here and you know all the right answers, but you've never given your life to Jesus Christ. Why not today? Why hold back? Why not give it all to him and surrender it all and say, God, here it is. And let him take control. He'll change you. He'll clean you up. And your life, it'll be different. It'll be in the light.
Thank you for listening to today's sermon. To find out more about Southside Baptist and our ministry, visit our website, southsidenow.church. Until we meet again, have a great week.